Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaman Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtyatya Deshatarane Trinadda Pisuni Chena Toral Iva Sahishnuna Amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Harya nama kevalam kalao nasyeva gatiranyata. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ramayana, Part 2, Chapter 2, Devastation in Ayodhya. This first part is called Sumantra's Report. After Ram and his party had gone into the jungle on the other side of the Ganges, Sumantra and Guha spent some time speaking together about Ram. Both were shocked and saddened to realize his firm intention to spend 14 years in the deep forest. They had been hoping that Ram would relent and perhaps return to Ayodhya just to punish evil Kaikeyi, who did not deserve any kindness. Or at least Ram could remain with Guha and his people where he could be easily reached. But now he was gone. Guha heard from his spies about Ram's meeting with Bharadwaj and his going on from there to the Chitrakoot mountain. Sadly, the Nishadha king returned to his own home in the city of Sringavera, from where he ruled over all the forest tribes. As the reality of Ram's departure sank in, Sumantra drove the chariot back toward Ayodhya. After traveling for 2 days, he arrived to find the city subdued and silent, overpowered by grief. Sumantra entered by the southern gate. As the empty chariot moved along the road, hundreds and thousands of people approached it. All of them were crying out, "O Ram, have you really gone? Where is that faultless hero? Alas, we are all forsaken and lost." Sumantra, afflicted at hearing their lamentations, covered his head with his garment. He felt ashamed to have been the one who took Ram away. Sumantra made his way along the royal highway to Dasharatha's palace. Hearing the wails of the women who stood on the balconies of their houses and gazing upon the chariot now bereft of its passengers, Sumantra reached the palace and went quickly through the first 7 gates. Arriving at the 8th, which led to the king's inner chambers, he then entered the large room and found the king seated on a couch. Dasharatha was pale, withered from grief. Dasharatha listened in complete silence, and then, having heard of Ram's definite entrance into the forest, fell senseless to the floor. Seeing their husband fallen, the ladies burst into tears. Kaushalya, assisted by Sumitra, lifted him up She said, "Why do you not reply to the charioteer, my lord? He has carried out a most difficult task on your behalf. Are you feeling ashamed for perpetrating such an unseemly act? O king, be fixed in your determination, for you have firmly adhered to truth. Do not submit to this grief, for we depend upon you, and so we will not be able to survive seeing you filled with such despair." Kaushalya spoke with a faltering voice. Her dear son, whom she had not been able to go without seeing for even a day, was now gone. She was gone for the period of 14 years. Thus she dropped in a faint next to her husband. All the ladies flocked around, sprinkling cool scented water on the faces of the monarch and his queen. There they lay, like a god and his consort, fallen from heaven. When Dasharatha awoke from his swoon, he summoned Sumantra, who stood silently nearby. The charioteer was covered in dust, and his face was streaked with tears. With folded hands, Sumantra stood respectfully before the king. Dasharatha sighed sadly. He said, "Now, where will Ram live? Taking shelter under a tree and sleeping on the bare ground? What will he eat? That prince has known only luxury and deserves the best of everything. Formerly, he would always be followed by my great army. How can he now live alone in the desolate forest?" Although Ram and Lakshman had grown up to become fierce fighters, to the emperor they were still his tender young boys. Dasharatha could hardly tolerate the thought of their living a life of austerity and abnegation. What to speak of along with gentle Sita? Anxiously, Dasharatha imagined the scene facing his two boys. How could they survive in the wild among carnivorous animals and venomous snakes? The king continued, "Sumantra, did you follow them? And as they walked alone into some bleak and lonely land, what were their last words? O Sumantra, pray, tell me, what did they utter as they were leaving? For this shall be my only sustenance for the next 14 years. Dasharatha stood up and looked into his charioteer's face. Sumantra's head hung down, and he was shaking with sorrow. With a choked voice, Sumantra replied to the king, "That ever-truthful Ram asked me to touch yours and Kaushalya's feet on his behalf. O great king, he requested me to convey his fond farewell to all the ladies in the royal court, who are to Ram just like his own mother." After bowing at the feet of the king and queen, Sumantra continued to speak with difficulty. describing his parting from Ram and the others. Sumantra faithfully recounted the exact messages the two princes had given him. Ram, who was constantly shedding tears as he spoke, has asked that Bharat be quickly installed as prince regent. He left instructions that Bharat should accord all respects to his aged father and to all his mothers. Especially, he should accord respect to the grief-stricken Kaushalya. The charioteer then recalled the final angry words of Lakshman. When Ram stopped speaking, Lakshman, hissing like an enraged cobra, said, "For what offense has the virtuous prince been exiled? Surely the king has carried out Kaikeyi's order without considering its merit. Regardless of his reasoning, I find no justification whatsoever. The emperor's decision to send away the sinless Ram? Very bad. Ram's exile will end in remorse. It contradicts all good sense and is against tradition and even scripture. Having performed an act which has caused nothing but pain to all people, how can father remain as the king any longer? Indeed, I cannot even see him. I cannot even see the qualities of a father. For me, Ram alone is my brother, my master, and my father." Sumantra, having summed up the vehemence in which Lakshman had spoken, calmed himself down and described his last sight of Sita. "That blessed Princess Sita stood silent as I prepared to leave, as though her mind were possessed by an evil spirit. She remained motionless and distracted, heaving deep sighs. Gazing upon her husband's face, she suddenly burst into tears, covering her own face with her two bejeweled hands, which looked like two white lotus. Then the three of them stood watching as I drove the chariot away." Dasharath asked Sumantra to describe his return journey, and the charioteer replied, "I remained with Guha for 3 days, hoping and praying that Ram would return. But finally I concluded that I would not see him again until the full 14 years had expired. I yoked up the chariot and urged the horses to move, but they remained stationary, for they too were shedding tears of grief. After much cajoling, they finally moved, and I proceeded on the path back to Ayodhya." Sumantra stopped speaking for some time as he struggled to control his feelings. After sipping a little water, he continued describing the scene he had witnessed upon his return. On all sides in the kingdom, Sumantra saw signs of grief and separation from Ram, Why, even the trees with their flowers and leaves look withered. The lakes and rivers were dried up, and everywhere there were beasts and birds entirely immobile. They were not even searching for food. The woods were silent and gave off none of their former fragrance. The parks and gardens in the city appeared desolate and deserted. Nobody greeted him when he entered Ayodhya. Everywhere he saw sighing men and women, lost in thoughts of Ram. And when the people saw the empty chariot, they let out tremendous cries of grief. Even the animals wore wretched expressions. On the tops of high buildings, he saw noble ladies gazing mutely at each other, their eyes overflooded with tears. The city appeared devoid of all happiness, looking exactly like the Empress Kaushalya, bereft of her beloved son. After Sumantra stopped speaking, Dasharath became pensive, feeling extreme regret. How had he stood by as Ram left? Why did he not reprimand the wicked Kaikeyi? He cursed his foolish attachment to virtue that had brought about such an unvirtuous end. Where was the truth in banishing the truthful Prince Ram? In a piteous voice, the king exclaimed, "Surely it was out of infatuation for my wife alone that I exiled Ram. I did not seek any counsel with my ministers and wise advisors. I was being dictated by that sinful Kaikeyi." Dasharath wondered how he could have acted so contrary to his own good sense and wisdom. Surely this was a great calamity which had suddenly happened by the will of Providence. This was all simply to destroy his race. The king sighed, feeling helpless in the hands of fate. Turning to Sumantra, Dasharath said, "O charioteer, if I have ever done you any good turn, please then quickly take me to Ram. My mind is drawn irresistibly to that prince. If I am still the king today, then let anyone fetch Ram back to Ayodhya. I shall not survive for even an hour longer without Ram. Where is that Ram? That Ram whose shining face is adorned with pearl-like teeth? Maybe that mighty armed prince has gone far into the woods by now. Sumantra, bring me a chariot, and I shall immediately make haste to see Ram. For if I do not soon catch a sight of him, surely I shall reach the abode of death this very day." Dasharath had been hoping beyond hope that Sumantra might somehow have returned with his sons. Realizing the finality of Ram's departure, the king gave full vent to his terrible grief. "O Ram, O Lakshman, O Sita, what could be more painful for me than not seeing you here? You do not know that I am dying from agony, like a lost and forlorn creature. The emperor fell senseless onto a couch. Close to him, Kaushalya tossed about on the floor. She was as though possessed by a spirit. Seeing Sumantra, she exclaimed, "Charioteer, yoke up the chariot and take me to Ram, for I shall not live another moment without him. Where now is my son? Where is he reposing, with his head placed upon his mighty arm? When again will I see his charming features?" Those features, surrounded by curling black locks. "I think my heart must be as hard as a diamond. Otherwise, why does it not shatter to pieces, even though I do not see my wrong?" Sumantra fell all the more agonized himself as he saw the grief of the king and queen. He tried his best to comfort Kaushalya. "I think your son will settle happily in the forest along with Lakshman and Sita. Indeed, I did not detect in them any dejection. Shaking off their grief, they appeared pleased upon approaching the forest. Sita seemed especially happy, much delighted at the sights and sounds of the woods.
सारे काम
हे राम।
Hey Ram. जगदाता विश्वविधाता
तू ही जगदाता विश्वविधाता
तू ही जगदाता विश्वविधाता।